Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. My name is Obioma Nwinwu, and I'm a PhD candidate at the Texas A&M Health Science Center, School of Rural Public Health. And I just want to say that it's been an honor for me to present at APHA, and APHA tends to attract a great number of people, and I believe there are few opportunities for people to disseminate the findings of their research, so it's an honor for me to present here today. So for today, I'll be talking about Clostridium difficile in hospital discharges, and for the remainder of this presentation, I will refer to this as C. diff, just making sure that. Particularly, I want to talk about the differences in patients who are admitted with or without the infection and the role of hospital in hospital-acquired infection, C. difficile. So before I go on, I would want to acknowledge my co-authors for this manuscript. Darcy, who is an assistant professor at the School of Rural Public Health, Rachel and Sherilyn, they are both doctoral candidates, and then Charles Phillips, who is my mentor and the leader of the team. I also want to say that this study was not supported by any source of funding, and none of the authors have any conflicts of interest to disclose. So for this presentation, I'm going to give a brief outline, like a brief introduction, talk about our research objectives, then the methods of the study, then discuss the findings, the discussions, and a little bit of the limitations we have concerning the data set we used. So why C. difficile? C. diff is it's been kicking steam in the past few years. It's actually a potentially life-threatening healthcare-associated infection. Death occurs, it tends to have a higher mortality rate compared to other healthcare-associated infections. For C. difficile, around 9% of the cases die, while other healthcare-associated infections, just 2%. So this is really important we talk about it. It's also expensive. The mean cost per hospital stay is borders around over $24,000, and the rate has been rising. Over the past 20 years, there has been a steady increase in the incidence of C. difficile. And interestingly, other healthcare-associated infections have been falling, but C. difficile has been on the rise over the years. In addition to that, the newer cases tend to be more severe and resistant to treatment. And this might actually explain why it's becoming more expensive to treat. A lot of studies have been done on C. difficile. And these studies tend to focus on, and it's been well documented that antibiotics use, longer hospital stays, all these increase the likelihood of someone acquiring C. difficile infection. For our study, we tended to shift the focus a little bit. So we wanted to look at the aggregate of the individual characteristics that make it more likely that someone who comes in is more likely to develop the infection, right? So for this, we know that not everyone that comes in and gets an antibiotics has not everyone that comes into the hospital and gets an antibiotic gets C. difficile before he or she is discharged. So we're trying to aggregate these individual characteristics together to find what makes you more likely to get it. So for this study, we investigated the incidence and the demographics of hospital-acquired C. difficile in Texas. Also, we investigated the individual characteristics, like I mentioned, that increase the likelihood the patient admitted to hospital without a diagnosis of C. diff will acquire the infection before being discharged. We used the 2011 Texas inpatient discharge data, and this data set has over 2.6 million discharges. We essentially conducted a retrospective study of all hospital discharges in Texas. We used the ICD-9 code, which is 00845, specific for C. difficile infection, to identify all hospital discharges with associated C. diff infection. We use SARS to do our analysis, and we did a logistic regression to predict the likelihood that someone will acquire the infection. For this study, we excluded patients who acquired the C. diff before coming into the hospital, because there are studies out there about the increasing rise in community acquired C. difficile. So we excluded any patient who had a diagnosis. And the important thing was that from 2011, Texas started reporting cases who had present an admission before coming to the hospital. So this made it easier for us to exclude those cases that had a diagnosis before coming in. Prior to 2011, that wasn't reported. So after the exclusion, also some facilities were not required to exclude, some facilities were not required in Texas to report the present on admission. So for all these facilities who didn't have the requirement to report it, we excluded them from our study. Even though some of them reported it, we didn't want it to bias our study, so we took all of them out. And it was about 10% of the total cases that we excluded, and we had over 2.3 million cases that we used for our analysis. So this is what hospital-acquired C. difficile looks like in Texas. And it's been well documented that it's actually, as you get older, your chances of getting C. difficile increases. So if you look at the study, you find out that over just less than 20% of all cases of hospital-acquired C. difficile occur to patients who were less than 50 years. From 61 above, you see 22%, 24%. Also, females were more likely to acquire C. difficile, looking at the bivalent relationships. And patients who had more than one comorbidity also had a higher likelihood of having a C. difficile infection. Interestingly, when you compare patients who were discharged without C. difficile, who came in and were discharged without C. difficile, you see that 51% were less than 50 years, while here 17%. Also, patients who had at least one surgical procedure performed, about 80% of these patients had patients who acquired C. difficile, about 8% of them had at least one surgical procedure performed. Also, the longer you stay in the hospital, the more likely you are to get C. difficile infection. See, those who spend less than 3 days, just about 2.3%, compared to 65% of those who stay longer than 10 days in hospital. And patients whose illness is severe, extremely severely patients have a higher likelihood of having C. difficile. So what we did next was we tried to fit three different logistic models to predict the factors that will make you more likely, like a holistic approach now to look at the factors now that make people more likely to get C. difficile. And then we compare the three models to see which one predicts it more. So the first model we did, we just put in the demographic characteristics. We looked at the age, the gender, the race, and the ethnicity. And you could see that, so this is, we report the odds ratios. Higher than one gives you more likely, makes you more likely to acquire C. difficile, while less than 1 makes you less likely to acquire C. difficile. So we see that...
those figures are odds ratios?
Yes.
Or
they are odds ratios. Okay. So more than 1, you are more likely to get it. You have higher odds of getting C, of acquiring C. difficile in hospital. While less than 1, you have less odds of acquiring it. So this first model, we put in only the demographic characteristics, look, and you see they are almost all significant with the age, like we expected. So the next model we fit in, we try to control for other individual characteristics, where we controlled for comorbidities, we controlled for the length of stay, we controlled for the severity of the illness. And after this control, you could see that, yeah, the odds were much less. Without the control, you had patients aged 65 to 74 had 5 times higher odds. But when we controlled for other factors, it dropped down to just about 1.15 higher odds. And it's the same for all the other odds. So the next thing we did was to try to fit in, because we know that hospitals matter, right? Hospitals are good. So we tried to control the hospitals, the facilities in which these patients were being treated, to see if it affects the regressions, that the results that we have. So this third model has the hospital facilities were being controlled for in this third model. And interestingly, what we see is similar to the model which has only the individual characteristics and the demographics, you know. It's the significance levels are almost the same and the odds ratios are close. Then we now try to assess the performance of these three models using the C statistics to know which of the models that fits better. And the next slide shows us what the C statistics says. Now, if you look at the C statistics here, we'll see that about, I'll call it 90% of model 2. We see that when we use C statistics to compare the three models, we see that almost 90% of what we see were being accounted for by individual characteristics, right? So you see the individual characteristics predicting if someone will get a C. difficile or not, about 90% of that. While the model that we controlled for the hospital, we had about 91%. The first model has only about 68%. But what this tells us is that the individual factors are more predictive of whether someone acquires a C. difficile in the hospital more than the facilities in which they are treated, right? So, and it's really important that we bring this up now, because there is this you know about the CMS move to not reimburse hospitals for hospital acquired infections. So if about 90% of what happens in it, if 90% of what whether a patient gets C. difficile or not is being predicted by his own individual characteristics, it might seem to indicate that the driving factors for this hospital acquired infection may be more attributable to individual characteristics than hospital characteristics, you know. And this finding is of considerable importance as payers introduce the performance-based reimbursement measures that often include non-payment for hospital acquired infections. So within such system, the use of measures largely driven by individual characteristics is far from ideal. So other measures may merit consideration in the reimbursement for care for patients with hospital-acquired C. difficile. So, in essence, what our study shows is that for C. difficile infection, the measure that we are being that is being used might not really be the best measure to assess if someone gets a C. difficile. And by not reimbursing patients who acquire C. difficile in the hospital, might not necessarily be achieving the aim of the incentive that which they set out to improve hospital infection. We had some limitations to this study, and some of the limitations could be that were that we use the hospital discharge data, and conclusions drawn from data may be subject to errors caused by the inability of the hospital to communicate complete data due to form constraints, subjectivity of assignment of codes, and normal clerical errors. Also, we use the ICD-9 codings, and if these codings are inaccurate, the patients may have been misidentified as having C. difficile. Also, because we use the only data from Texas, the generalizability is still unknown to other hospitals outside of Texas. Thank you. I will take questions. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so a couple of questions, and you may not be able to answer this, because we don't know, looking at the data, whether this was determined
Yes, so that's an excellent question, and we talked about that, because for the data we have, we are not able to capture what happens when the patient leaves the hospital. So our findings is more to whether a patient acquires it in hospital before he leaves. But once he leaves, we are not able to determine if he got it. And also, someone coming in with present on admission may actually have been acquired in the hospital, but it did not show up, so he came in later with it, and we excluded those from our studies. So it's kind of difficult to know once they leave the hospital. Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Which hospitals are not required to report diagnoses upon admission?
So there are a bunch of them. The critical access hospitals, I think there was about eight of them. I don't remember all of them, but they are...
Does that mean like Ben Taub in Houston? How do you define that? What's an example of such a hospital?
Unfortunately, I'm not able to describe it, because I saw the list. They gave a list of all the hospitals that were not required to report, and we excluded those. In the coding, you see those ones are not required, so we excluded all the hospitals that were exempt from requirement. Though some of them did report it, but if you are not required to report it, there is a chance that you might not report it accurately. So we tried not to bias our study.
So what proportion?
It was about 10%.
10%
of the total discharges, not of the total discharges that we excluded from this, were from the hospitals. Yeah.
Something like that. That's the only way you can get out of it, as far as I know, because this drives us crazy.
that's not severe. That's severe illness, not severe C. diff. So, not C. diff. Sorry about that.
Is that true?
It's not C. diff. It's extremely severely ill patients. Other conditions which were classified as extremely severely ill patients.
They're the severity,
they're whole. Yes, yes. Not C. diff, you know. But
because that is one way.
So of those that were classified as extremely severe, 59% of those acquired C. diff in the hospital.
Well, but okay, so I didn't understand that.
Okay. So we lumped all the comorbidities into different classifications, and we grouped it either greater than one comorbidities or less than one comorbidities. Let's see. More than one comorbidity or less, we broke it down. So a lot of those will fall into more than one comorbidities. So one, so people that came with only. I can separate it out. Yes, I have all the comorbidities, yes.
But when you looked at it, it didn't seem to matter, so you lumped them together?
I did lump them together, because what the problem we had with this was that, like you said, only about less than 1 or 2% had one comorbidity, right? So it was difficult to like compare them with the others. So I tried to break it in such a way that you could make a comparison between two groups. Yeah, so what that means is that 80% of patients who had hospital-acquired infection, hospital-acquired C. difficile, had at least one surgical procedure performed.
Okay. So it's a big risk factor.
Yeah. Because they all get antibiotics, most of them get antibiotics. So
is that the total length of stay
that you're
in the hospital? Yes. So it's
Okay, so the problem we encounter with that is that the discharge data gives us the day they were admitted and the day they were discharged. And it gives us the ICD-9 code of, what did you say? Of C. diff, we don't have the date of diagnosis of C. diff.
Yeah, because what you really want to know is how long were they in hospital. Because the longer they were in hospital,
before they go. But all these patients came into the hospital for something else, and why they were in the hospital, they acquired it, and then they had to stay longer, yeah, right? How longer than 3 days?